attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Happy December. Can you believe it's December already? But it is. And if you have a legal question, hey, I'm here to help you. All you have to do is call our toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Hey, your question can be just about anything. Can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare surrogates, living wills, personal injury, family law. Can be just about any area of law. And if you have a problem of some type, why worry about it? Why not get a little peace of mind? Why not at least get some direction? Why not get your question answered? More than likely, I'll be able to give you at least some direction and maybe even answer your question and give you total peace of mind. Might not always be exactly the answer you're looking for or wishing for, I should say. But, hey, you'll have an answer. So give us a call. Question can be about something you're worried about. It doesn't even have to be a legal issue. It can just be a problem you're facing or working through. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, host of Ask an Attorney since 1984. Longest-running continual program in Florida. And if you have a legal question, I'm here to help you, and all you have to do is to dial this number, which is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Hey, we're broadcasting today on multiple stations around Florida. You might be listening today. We're broadcasting from Tampa. You might be listening on one of the Salem stations out of Tampa, 570, 910, 860, 938. They're all on your AM dial. There is one, the 970, 570, 910 has an FM station. I think that's 102.5 FM. So if you're listening on AM station and the signal's not all that great, you might want to switch over to the FM, 102.5 FM, coming out of Tampa. We also have a Sun City Center community radio station. It's a little circle around the Sun City Center area that they just for the Sun City residents. A lot of local news there on that station and keeping you up to date. Glad to be on that station. They're going to have an event for me, a Meet the Attorney, Ask an Attorney event coming up first part of the year. We'll give you more details as we get closer to that. It'll be right at the Chamber of Commerce building coming up. We also have 90.3 FM coming out of Haines City, Florida, out of Landmark Baptist Church area there. Landmark Baptist Church houses that station. It's actually a Southern Gospel station. They carry the program and have been carrying it for a long, long time. Yet they've been carrying it since the late 80s continually, every week. And I was helping them initially start their first telethon and help them every year do that. You might be listening to a Jacksonville station. The Jacksonville station, WBOB. At 600 a.m. on your dial. And they have an FM station also, 101.5 FM. And you might be listening to a station in up in the Crystal River area. And actually, that's a rock station. But they carry the program as a community service. Ask an Attorney all about Florida law. And no matter where you're listening, you have a toll-free number to call the show. It's 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. You know, I was nationally syndicated for about 2 years on Ask an Attorney. It was just Ask an Attorney. It wasn't all about Florida law then. I found out after doing that a couple of years that I decided just to do Florida. I'm only licensed in Florida, can only practice in Florida, and giving advice in 50 states about people with different areas made my answers much too general, couldn't really get to the point, because the nitty-gritty of the law is different in states on some issues, a lot of issues, actually. So I did that for a couple of years. It was a lot of fun, but I decided to just stick to Florida, where I'm licensed and can practice and probably can give a much better, concise answer. Hey, our first caller this morning is coming from Jacksonville, and let's go to Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, sir. I had a question about trusts and wills. I wanted to know if my mother had set up a trust with me as the I don't know what you call it, but the person on the trust.
Yeah, the successor trustee probably is what you're looking for.
Yeah. Does that take precedence over a will that she may have set up and changed multiple times at the request of my sister?
Well, it's like this. If your mother had created a trust and have assets titled in that trust, which means mother, trustee, and the date of the trust instead of just mother's name, if she had assets in the trust would control those assets regardless of any will. Now, hopefully, when she created a trust, she created what was called a pour-over will. And the pour-over will left everything to the trust, so all the assets would wind up in one place.
Okay.
So the answer to your question is, if she has a living trust and has assets titled in the trust would control those assets.
Okay.
If she has assets outside the trust, just in her name, without a beneficiary, then whatever will she has would control those.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Can I help you? All you have to do is to call 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And if you have a legal need or a legal question of some type, give us a call. We'd be glad to try to point you down the right road, get you going in the right direction, and maybe give you a little peace of mind. You know, a lot of people put off estate planning, and when they come to see me and we're working on their estate plan, and I can get it done in a week or less, sometimes even the same day, they say, man, I put this off for so long thinking this is going to be so difficult, and it wasn't difficult at all. You made it so easy for me to get this done. You did it so quickly, and now I'm happy and have a great peace of mind about the whole situation. I don't know why I put it off so long. Hey, you can check one more thing off your list you got to do, and everybody should do estate planning, because if you don't, guess what? State of Florida does it for you. Let's go to Robert in Tampa. Hey, Robert.
I'm a legal eagle. I just got off a Catherine show.
All right.
And at the end of the show, I brought up the fact that we got these new Medicare cards.
Yes.
Changing from our Social Security number to the 11-digit number.
Right.
And I mentioned to her that we should probably go to our medical office and have them purge our Social Security number.
Not a bad idea.
And then I just thinking about it, that's why I'm calling you. I listen to you too. but I mean, could
hey, we I was just, on Catherine's show for a few minutes this morning on my way over to this station.
I heard you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm a legal eagle.
All right. Well, very good.
Well, my question is it possible that we can use that 11-digit number for other things besides just medical? I mean, like everywhere you go, they want your Social Security number. I try not to give it to them, you know? I try and do it.
Well, I think, unfortunately, everybody's going to have their own rules, and I think a lot of people like banks and people like of that, they're going to require the Social Security number because that's what they have to report to the government on any income you earn on that account. So I don't think you can use it on any financial accounts. And basically, companies are going to require what they require, and you're going to, if you want to do business with them, you're going to have to comply with their rules.
Well, I figured that. I was thinking that, but I mean, is there a way to start the idea of, I mean, like, you know, where they figured it out to...
Yeah, you can ask them, you know, can, I don't want to give you my Social Security number, I'll be glad to give you this number on my new Medicare number.
Yeah, I try that. They want your mother's maiden name, I say, Ginger, my kitty cat. I say, I don't use my mother's
name.
I use, you know, because once they get something, and then everybody's using the same information, they got you.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I just wonder if there's a way to start some kind of function with the government to change that rule.
Well, I'll talk to your local congressman about what can be done. Tell him you'd like to see this and see if he's interested in pushing some bill forward.
I'll talk to Kathy.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Let's go to Jack in Ellington.
Yes. Good morning.
Hey, Jack.
I have a question about the HOA Association. Presently, we're under a builder HOA.
Mm-hmm.
When we go to 90%, we're going to switch over to our own HOA.
Yes.
What do we have to worry about?
Well, I don't think you have to worry about too much because you would be more in control than what you are now with the builder being in control. So you'll have a group meeting, y'all discuss things, vote on things. So I think you're in a better seat once y'all take control of the development there.
Obviously, the development is being subsidized by the builder at the present time. For example, he controls, because he's a majority person in the association, right?
Right.
HOA.
Uh-huh.
He controls and he subsidizes a new road, for example. So the development looks good for his new buyers coming in.
Right.
But obviously he doesn't have to, I was told at least, he doesn't have to have escrow accounts for the road, for this, for that, or whatever. For painting the buildings or whatever.
Right. So worried about is once y'all take control, you'll have to establish escrow accounts.
Well, that's what we have.
Well, there's community property.
Yes, there is a pool, obviously.
And are there required payments now to go in to pay for things like that?
We pay an HOA association fee, of course. And obviously, we're going to have to make a different accounts to save for the future, obviously, to replace the pool pump or something like that.
Yeah. Do you have a clubhouse?
We have a clubhouse, yes.
Okay, so there'll be fees associated with that as well to maintain that.
Right, which are going to be part of the HOA, the large number.
Yeah, so that was going to become a big responsibility for the community to elect a board and to set these things up.
Right, okay, that I understand. Now, I was told if we don't do a good job of it, then the state gets involved, and that's when it becomes a nightmare.
Well, if you don't do a good job, then their lawsuits start flying, so... And then, you know, some, you know, the board can hire, they have independent agencies that take care of maintaining maintenance accounts and hiring maintenance people. They have people that can do all that kind of stuff, but the homeowners are going to be paying money toward that.
Right, which we are now, technically. It's a management company.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, the board should maybe have an attorney represent them and advise them along the way.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Let's go to Jeffrey in Crystal River.
Yes, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
My question is, about a year ago, October, I purchased a property in Crystal River. And recently I got a letter from the State Environmental Quality Department. And they notified me it was time to change my state paid for filter. Because my water quality, it has arsenic in it, and it's not fit for human consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not listed on the disclosure statement.
So when did you buy the property?
Report. Pardon me?
When did you buy the property?
A year ago, October. So it's been about 13 months.
So you're saying that this should have been disclosed to you, but it wasn't?
I'm asking you. Should that have been disclosed?
Well, if they had knowledge of it, yes.
The water. Well, they had to have knowledge of it because they had the state-assisted filter installed.
I see. Did you do your
previous
own
owner?
Did you do your own inspection?
We did a house inspection. Yes.
So you paid somebody for your own inspection?
Yes, through a realtor.
Through a realtor. So the inspection didn't result in letting you know about this either?
No, sir. First time I found out about it was when I got a letter from the state.
All right, so what's the consequence of the letter? Is it going to cost you more money to do something?
They're going to come in and replace the filter that's already here.
The state?
But I don't know that I qualify now for the state assistance. We haven't gotten that far into the process.
Well, to establish some type of claim, at minimum, you're going to have to figure out what the damages are and what it's going to cost you. So if you qualify for the assistance, then you're not out of any money. And that this is something that would have to be done anyway for you to have suitable drinking water, right?
Yes.
And if you don't qualify, your question is whether or not you have some type of legal action because it wasn't disclosed to you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure I know the answer to that.
I didn't know about the time frame.
Well, a lot of real estate transactions are subject to a 1-year statute of limitation. So how long has it been?
It's been over a year. It's been about 13 months.
Yeah. Well, I think if I were you, I would meet with a local real estate attorney that does real estate litigation. And see if you can get in front of one next week. Because when the statute of limitations starts to run is kind of a tricky question also. Doesn't necessarily run from the day you bought the purchase all the time. Or, purchase the house. So it doesn't help you too much that you hired, you had a right to probably in the contract you signed to have your own inspector come in to advise you, and you could have, if the inspection had resulted in telling you this, then you might have, dealt with it in a different way than you did by just going to the closing.
Yes.
So I think you need to figure out two things. You need to figure out what, if you're going to qualify for the continued assistance from the state. And if not, what it's going to cost you, and get with a real estate litigation attorney right away.
Okay. I appreciate your help.
All right, what's the name of your station there in Crystal River? It's a classic.
107.5, yeah, classic.
Yeah, classic rock. Okay. All right. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. And as you can tell from our first callers, we got callers from Jacksonville, Tampa, Ellington, and Crystal River. We're all over the place. So if you're listening to us, though, we probably have an office close to you. We have 20 office locations, various locations where we can have our own office or offices where we can meet people. We don't charge anything for our first appointment to discuss. Mainly estate planning issues comes into that category, although some of our other attorneys also offer the same thing for services they provide. We have a Medicaid attorney, family law attorney, and so forth. If you'd like to call our office to have us, like estate planning, I sit and don't charge people for reviews of estate planning documents. And then we have a fee schedule on our website, which is attypip.com, for a lot of the things we do. We have a flat fee schedule. So if you'd like to contact our office for an appointment, maybe you've got a goal to do some estate planning this year and you're running out of time. It's December already. Give us a call, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. And go to extension 200. A young lady there that answers the phone can make an appointment for you. If you want our free estate planning poster sheet, you can just give her your name and address and she'll send it out to you. Again, that's 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. Hey, phone lines are open. If you'd like to call into the show, you have a toll-free number. And the number is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. So we had a question here. What are the general signs if an employer is feeling age discrimination? Well, what are the general signs? That's I'm not quite sure how to answer that. If you are subject to age discrimination, you will know that you are being fired because they want to hire younger people, and they have no good reason to fire you. Although in the state of Florida, they can pretty much fire you at will, as long as there's not age discrimination. So you'd have to establish a pattern of this is the way they've treated other people, maybe get other people in the same boat with you making the same allegation. They treat you differently. They make you do more than someone else that has the same job of you. They fire just people they have a hiring and firing pattern that's different than you would expect, or don't feel like you're being treated equally with co-workers in the same job. So a lot of the age discrimination cases are a little bit tricky, and you need an employment law attorney that specializes in that to really answer that question. This particular person called and left a message with their producer, didn't want to come on live. Probably would have been better. You still have time to come on live and just let me ask you a few questions, and then we can probably get a better answer for you. Let's go to Rob in Bradenton. Hey, Rob.
Hey, how you doing today?
Very good, and you?
Fantastic. On my way to work.
What can I do for you?
My question today is my girlfriend had a son, and the son was born, and then after 6 years of being in a relationship with the father, and the father is on the birth certificate as not paternally guaranteed, or I don't know exactly what the it says, but it's not, he's not really
he's not the father.
I guess he is the father, but they're not guaranteeing it on the birth certificate. They're not saying it's not 100% guaranteed.
Was your girlfriend married to this man at time of the birth of the child?
No.
No.
Not married.
Okay.
But the fella had some real big bad issues with drug abuse and drug addiction and stealing and things of that nature. And finally, after a while of all of this drama, she asked him to leave, and he did. He left.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone out of state and hasn't been seen the child's now 13, and he hasn't been seen since he was 6. Never tried to contact, no contact, nothing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's carrying, the child is carrying the father's last name.
Mm-hmm.
And the mom would like to have that changed to her last name.
Mm-hmm.
She's worried that if she starts this process, that she's going to wake the father up, you know, and he's going to get back into the picture and start, you know, demanding things. But so our question is, mm-hmm. do we have to contact the father to have the name changed? Does he have to be part of that whole process?
Does she know who the father is?
Yes.
Is it this guy?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So I think if she could sign an affidavit of something of who, that he's not the father, which she can't, then you'd have a better shot. But since she knows he is the father, I think you're going to need his permission. There might be a way around. You know, I have a family law attorney. Her name is Catherine.
Uh-huh.
So she would give at least a free phone consult to you or the mother or your girlfriend, and see if there's a way around of notifying the father. In most cases, the father has to be notified. I get questions all the time where somebody has a father that lives in Puerto Rico, for example, who never came to the U.S., and whether the father has to be notified. And yes, the answer is yes. 5 years from now, the child can agree to an adult. When the child is 18, they can agree to adult
name change. Right.
So without his permission.
So we can wait it
it out or change it.
Or talk, give Catherine a call. Her number is 727-586-3306. I think her extension is 112. If not, just go to 200, extension 200, and they'll transfer you.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate you taking my call.
All right, no problem. Thank you.
You bet.
Bye. Let's go to Joe in Odessa.
Hi. Thank you for my call.
Yes, go right ahead, sir.
Okay. I have a 17-year-old granddaughter. Her and her mother lived with us since the day she was born. And they have a loving relationship, mm-hmm. by the way.
Okay,
and
good.
About 2 years ago, I inherited a place in Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
and I gave it to my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she went up there, leaving her daughter with us. Although, you know, she would visit, and my granddaughter would visit. And now she's taking my daughter up there. My granddaughter. And she's insisting that she stays there. Well, my granddaughter has no life there. She doesn't have a church group. She's in a church group. She has friends here. She goes to the movies with them, et cetera, et cetera. And does my granddaughter have any voice in where she would like to stay at age 17?
Well, when will she be 18?
In July.
Well, I think the best thing to do would be tough it out till July, and 18 she can do whatever she wants.
That's correct. But
does she have any rights? She could emancipate herself from the parent through a court action and become, you know, independent at 17 instead of 18 through a court action.
Yeah.
But other than that, you talk logic to the mother, or she could do that, or she could wait till she's 18, I believe, are the answers.
Okay. We don't want to cause any rift between my daughter and us.
Yes.
But my granddaughter is whining every day. She's just beside herself, threatening suicide and everything else.
Man. Well, I would. Does she have the freedom to go? She goes to school up there, right?
Actually, she's homeschooled.
Homeschooled.
See, my daughter's sister retired from the Air Force, and they've been together along with us. And, you know, they've been independent. They've been paying their own way, what have you. But we gave them the house, and they both live up there now. And she's homeschooled.
So when she was with you, were you doing the homeschooling, you and your wife?
Oh, no. No, it was actually my daughter who's retired from the Air Force.
I see. Does your daughter that's retired from the Air Force have a relationship with the mother of the child?
Great relationship.
They have a great relationship. So can she reason with her?
Well, you see, my daughter, the one who does the homeschooling, she's kind of the quiet one, and she basically does what the mother wants her to do, and she sticks with her 100%. So I guess her only option would be to emancipate herself from her mother.
Yeah, she's going to need an attorney. I'm not sure, since she's homeschooled, how she's going to get to an attorney's office, but that would probably be the answer.
Well, see, we would take care of that financially.
Yeah, but then you're going to cause a rift in the relationship with your daughter, which you said you didn't
want
to do.
That's 100%
true. So you're between a rock and a hard spot.
No. Absolutely.
Yep.
As a matter of fact, I'm heading up there now because my granddaughter requested somebody come up there that would be on her side. You know, I'm not going to take the mother on. I'm just going to suggest that, you know, she allow her to come home a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Well, is there a way that the mother might agree to some type of counseling to come to a resolution?
Well, actually, she took her to a counselor, and the counselor agreed. See, my daughter was already in counseling, and she brought my granddaughter along, and the counselor agreed that she should be with her mother.
Oh, she should be with her mother. Okay, well, that doesn't help. I mean, it doesn't help you.
Okay, listen, I'm taking enough.
All right, that's okay. Well, I wish you well with all this.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Goodbye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. Our producer wants to say something here.
All right, well, good morning, Joe. How are you
good
today?
Good morning.
I had a caller, an anonymous caller, call in. He had a few questions for you. So question number one is, how many pieces of real estate property can you put on a trust? Question one. Question number two, what other types of properties can you put on a trust other than real estate? And the last question is, how much would you charge to do a trust?
All right, well, a trust we have flat fees for. If it's a single person, it's $695. If it's a married couple, it's $795. How many pieces of real estate can you put in a trust? It's an unlimited amount of money. Unlimited amount of real estate can go into a trust. Now, is it always wise to put all of your real estate in a trust? I can give an example where you might do something slightly different. If you have rental properties, you could create an LLC for asset protection for rental properties. And depending on how many pieces of real estate you have might determine how many different LLCs you do for asset protection. But the answer to the question as asked is you can put an unlimited number of properties of real estate into a trust. And what's the second question?
Second question was what other
assets can go into trust?
Yes, besides
real estate. All right, so you can put financial accounts, checking, savings, money market, CDs, brokerage stocks, bonds. All of the financial accounts can be titled in your name, trustee, or your name, your wife's name, trustees of the trust. So unlimited amount of financial accounts. Examples of what do not go in a trust, might throw that in too. You don't put automobiles in a trust because they don't go through probate. You don't put insurance, retirement accounts, IRAs, things like that, that have beneficiaries in a trust unless you want to stretch out the distribution over a period of time. So if you have other questions, we do a free consult. You could just come into the office. We could do a face-to-face, answer all your questions, and get you pointed in the right direction. But now you know the fee for the trust. You know what you can put in the trust. And if you have other questions, you can call. I'd be glad to talk to you. All right, phone lines are open. We have 17 more minutes left in the show. And if you have a legal question during that time period, please give us a call at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Hey, if you're calling the show, here's a little secret. You don't have to use your true name. If you're worried about somebody might know you when you give your name, you can just make up a name. It doesn't really matter. Call yourself X if you want to. X has a question from Tampa. Hey, actually, you don't even have to use the right city either. So if you're worried that you have an embarrassing question you don't want anyone to know, just tweak your voice a little bit. Give a false name and a false city. Hey, I don't know. So it doesn't, people don't recognize. Although I can be standing in a room once in a while and somebody will come over to me and, hey, I heard you talking. Are you Ask an Attorney? Somebody I've never met sometimes will recognize my voice in a crowd. And then we have a nice little conversation. Phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. I was at a charitable event last night, and it was Shepherd's Village, which is a great group that takes care of single mothers who are going through hard times, basically. And it's a group we've supported for a while now. But some guy last night came up to me and says, and his friend introduced me. He says, "Oh, Mr. Radio." Was how he called me, because I guess he knew I'd been on radio since 34 years, longest running show in Florida. I said, hey, I like that. I like that tag. Mr. Radio, although I don't deserve a tag like Mr. Radio, but I have been on a long time. Let's go to Bill in Spring Hill. Hey, Bill?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
My question was, I am actually on my way to go see my son. There, my son turns 18 today, and there was a supervised visitation order. I've already asked another attorney on this, and they said I'm cleared to go see my son. I am just very worried. I have a very, very vindictive ex-wife. So I just wanted to make sure there's no way that she can cause any trouble for my son or I.
Okay, so I think an attorney would have to review the visitation restriction and whether it expired at 18 or not. So the divorce court was involved in this and gave a that you whenever you visited your son, and you would assume it meant prior to 18. But, you know, somebody would have to make look at the agreement to make sure that that was true. So does the son still live with the mother?
Yes, he does.
And does the mother know you're coming today?
I have no idea. More than likely not.
So you're going to knock on the mother's house? And
no, no.
Oh.
God, no.
Oh, okay. So you you've arranged a meeting place to meet your son somewhere?
Yes. We're going to do the supervised visitation and then afterwards meet.
You're going to do what now?
We're going to do the supervised visitation that's already scheduled.
Okay.
And then we're going to meet.
Okay. So the supervised visitation is in the mother's home?
No. It's a predetermined location from the court.
Okay. So I think I would have to be able to answer that question. I think any attorney would have to see the visitation order or the supervised visitation order and what it says.
Yeah, I've read it over, but I'm, of course, not a lawyer. Automatically turning 18 does not end that?
It might not. I mean, you would think that it would. You know, logically, you could come to that conclusion. But the order itself might have some language in there that might say something else.
Okay.
You know, I could get an injunction against somebody from being within 500 feet of my office. There's no...
Yeah, no, I understand. There's nothing like that.
Yeah.
It's just through family court.
Now, were you represented by an attorney during the family court process?
For some of it. Afterwards, I represented myself.
Were represented involved in this order in any way?
I'm not positive. I'd have to go back and look.
All right. Well, you could. I know you probably fear that you get a fee if you call him and ask him that question. I guess, right?
I mean, that would be fine. I don't care. I'm not in real good standings with that attorney. I've been through three different attorneys on this. Unfortunately, my ex-wife is now with somebody who has quite a bit of money, and I've just hit stone walls every time I try to do anything.
All right. Well, I think an attorney has to look at your visitation order to see if there's anything that would be carried on after 18. Just to make sure.
Okay.
All right.
That answers my question.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Let's give out the numbers. If you want to call the show, 877-943-9673. And let's go to Margaret in Bradenton.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have a daughter-in-law who has done nothing but cause trouble in the family, and I went to a quick claim attorney and had my granddaughter's name put on the deed to my condo.
Mm-hmm. How old is the granddaughter?
She's 45.
Okay.
And should I have put it in a trust? Instead of that, or?
Well, with a trust, you could have left it to her, and you still would have had ownership while you're living. By putting her name on there, you actually made a gift. So the gift was half of the value of the property. And if that half of the value of the gift of the property was over $15,000, then you have to fill out a gift tax return. You don't have to pay a tax necessarily, because you can choose to use up part of your lifetime exemption, which is $11.2
million
now. And also, by giving it to her, you gave it to her at your cost basis. So, I mean, there are some negative things to gifting real estate while you're living. And giving it to her through a will or trust upon death, and a trust would avoid probate, of course, would be the better option.
Should I change it now or leave it alone? Will she have to pay taxes or anything on it?
No. No, how long ago did you do this?
About a year ago.
It gets complicated, because if she gifts it back to you, then there's a gift tax going the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Is there equity built up in the property?
A little bit. Not that much.
Okay, so the cost basis issue might not be that big of an issue if there's not much difference in the price you paid for it and the value of it now.
Okay, so I should just leave it alone, sir?
Well, I think if it were me, and since you've already done it, I think if it were me, under those circumstances, I'd probably leave it alone, since that's not a big cost basis difference.
Okay. Also, I her name is on my bank account.
Mm-hmm.
And is that okay?
Well, the problem is with all of these, if she gets sued, divorced, or has an accident, then her creditors can say she owns half of these things and maybe make a claim against them.
Oh, really?
So the better way to have done this would be just to left her everything, if that's what you wanted, in a will or a trust, so you wouldn't be subject to any of her problems, so to speak.
Oh, my. Because I've already done all that now, yeah. And she has a crazy husband.
Well, the bank accounts you could reverse. You could take her name off.
Okay.
Or just take the money out and open a new account, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Well, we have if you don't have an attorney, we do have an office in Sun City Center that's fairly close to you. So.
Sun City.
Okay. And we also have an office in Lakewood Ranch that might be closer.
Yeah, Lakewood Ranch would be closer.
Yeah.
I would appreciate that, dear.
All right. I'll give out the number at the end of the show. Just call the office and arrange to see Attorney Dennis Moses. I'm in Sun City Center once a week, and Attorney Dennis Moses comes down to Lakewood Ranch. Would he be glad to help you?
Okay. Hey, thank you for all you do. It's really appreciated.
All right. Well, my pleasure. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's go to George in Ocala.
Hello. I have a question about rental properties and LLCs. If you have more than one rental property, is it best to have each rental property in its own LLC?
I have different clients who do that different ways. Usually the choice is how many LLCs based on, like, if you had one property that was free and clear, you
yes.
probably want to protect that and have an LLC just for that one property. If you have multiple properties that are mortgaged pretty high to the value of the property, you could group those, because there's nothing there for a lawsuit to get, really.
I see. Okay.
But, you know, some people have an LLC for each property, and some people choose to group them based on the equity in the properties.
Okay. That's what I need to know. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let's go to Robert in Sun City Center.
Yes, I have an annuity that's maturing in the 10th of this month, and I'm having trouble with the insurance company and the people that I bought it with trying to get the paperwork filled out to surrender that annuity without any penalties.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that I might be able to do to help ease this transition?
No, so I guess you send in paperwork and they tell you they need something else, and then you keep sending in something else and it never gets done.
That's correct.
Okay. So basically you can just be a squeaky wheel and keep sending in what they do and just get on the phone every other day and say, well, I've sent this and I've sent this and I've sent this and I've sent this and now... Or if you reach the final point of giving up yourself, then you could have an attorney maybe intercede for you. Or if you have a whoever you bought this annuity from, if they're still around, then maybe they could assist you making it happen.
Well, they're not being very helpful either.
Well, you might possibly go to, do you want to keep the annuity, or would you be interested in maybe looking at changing?
No, it's
fixed.
It's a 5-year contract, and it's the 5th year coming up the 10th of this month. And I was needing the funds.
To close it?
Yeah, I want to close it out.
And what are you going to do with the money once you close it?
Well, I've got some medical things I need to take care of, and there's a family matter that...
Are you going to reinvest part of it?
Part of it, yes.
Well, you could go to a new financial planner.
True.
And help them help you close it out, and then with the carried out there that you're going to reinvest part of it, and then talk to them about how that should be reinvested.
Okay. I appreciate it. Once this goes past the anniversary date, there's a... supposedly it rolls over into a new contract, and then I get hit with the penalties again.
Well, send them a certified letter that you do not want the product to roll over. You want to cash it out. You make them a list of things that you've done to try to close it out, and just indicate they haven't been cooperating with you. At least have some history of what's going on in written form.
Okay, I have. Sent 3 registered letters with the forms that I've filled out. I'm fixing to go send another one and put a letter in with that.
Yes, sir. Be a squeaky wheel. That's how it's going to get done.
All righty.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Uh-huh. Bye.
All right. Let me give out the phone number one more time because we're almost toward the end of the show. We do have time for one more call. Phone lines are empty right now at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. If you would like our free estate planning poster sheet, I'd love to mail it to you. It's a big double-sided sheet. One side of the big poster sheet has 5 articles on estate planning. Talks about your options in estate planning. Even if you've already done estate planning, you can look at what you've done, read about what you've done, see what the other option might be. And you might learn something. There's a trust diagram explaining how trusts work. There's a cost of probate article there. On the other side of the sheet has all of our office locations, has attorneys, has website information, other radio show information. It's a great sheet to have, great reference sheet for you on estate planning. If you'd like it, you can get it 1 of 3 ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe at attypip.com. You can text me at 727-667-3967. So you can text to 727-667-3967. Let's end our show with Larry from Tampa. Hey, Larry. You have about a minute here.
All right. Thank you.
What can we do for you?
Yes. My father passed away. He has a trust.
Okay.
What he leaves me is the next successor in the trust. After me is my daughter.
Okay.
Do I need to take action or just leave it alone?
You're the first successor trustee. You're the first successor trustee.
Yes.
So your job is to collect the assets, pay the bills, do with taxes, and then make the distribution as stated in the trust.
Okay. Do I need to do that, or can I leave it dormant and just use the house? Live in it until I pass away and my daughter...
Hey, Larry, call my cell phone in about 10 minutes because I'm going to need a little more time. I have 30 seconds left in the show. 727-667-3967. I'll be glad to talk to you.
All right.
Thanks for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Hey, you have a great weekend. Hey, I get to go see Tim Tebow Sunday night. Looking forward to that. Take care.